Welcome to the Carol Reitberger Show, where each week you'll hear a new topic dealing with health and wellness. Carol will be taking your calls and answering your personal questions. And now, here's Carol.
Can you remember back at the age when everything you did was good and it was cute and it was the right thing to do? When people encouraged you to just be yourself and love yourself, and you loved it when you were playful, joyful, daring, determined, stubborn, and doted over the fact that you were just your unique self? Can you remember back to the age when you actually liked who you were and you felt good about marching to your own drummer and being your own person? When you just plain loved yourself? Those were the times before we'd look in the mirror and go, oh my gosh. Those were the times we'd look in the mirror and we go, oh my gosh. So in those particular times, now let's shift it. Can you remember when all that changed? Didn't it seem like overnight everything that you did that was right suddenly went to doing something totally wrong? The way you acted was wrong. The way you dressed was wrong. Even the way you talked was wrong. And heaven help you if you dared to express with pleasure your accomplishments or the things that you were good at, or you told other people that, look at me, I'm really good at these things. That was when we were always going, we go through that change, and people started misinterpreting what we were saying and started seeing us saying things from ego instead of saying from that joyfulness of the child of the soul. And when that happened, then everything started to change. And the most important thing that started to change was the fact that we actually went in and we started to lose our ability to say nice things to ourselves and to feel good about all the things that we did. And it just came and perpetuated from there to, it reaches a point sometimes in adulthood. I'm not sure when that actually happens, or maturity. I'm really not sure about that one. But all of a sudden we reach a place that it's just like, you know what? I'm tired of not being me. I'm tired of going back and marching to my own drummer. And I'm tired of doing all the things that I've compromised. Well, actually, that shift in consciousness from when we were just doing everything just cute and adorable and wonderful to the time where everything was wrong actually starts about 3 years old. And that's when our conditioning kicks in to where we're told, well, you know, we should be more humble, or we shouldn't really tell people how good we are. I can remember as a child, feeling really good about myself. I always wanted to be a ballerina, which, of course, I did go on and do for a while. But I would remember putting on my tutu that my mother would give me and had given me, and I would dance around. And in the grocery store, I mean, I was just a magnet for good cheer. I would say to someone, are you really good at something? I'm really good at dancing. And all I wanted to do was share. And then as I got older, my mom would say to me, you know, Carol, you probably should be careful in what you say. People are going to misinterpret that, honey, and I just don't want you to get hurt in life. Well, I came to realize that the hurt in life really comes from the place where we stop saying kind things to ourselves. Maybe it isn't appropriate in situations to go and to tout your accomplishments or to blow your own horn, but really, what's wrong with that? I was involved in the Mary Kay organization for a while and working my way up the ladder. And one of the things that I absolutely loved about the organization is they would have something called a crow session. And what that meant is that as we would stand up individually and talk about all the things that we did that were really, really good, that made us feel good and that made other people feel good. And when I was getting ready for this show, I went back to that and thought, you know, every week when I had my meetings, every week I was reminding myself about the things that I loved and the things that I was good at. And I started I started remembering that and thinking, you know, how much of ourselves do we get lost in the process of trying to be someone other than who we are? Well, that's what I'm going to be talking about today, and thanks for joining me. I'm medical intuitive Carol Reitberger, and as you can guess, the topic of the show is on self-love, and I'm going to be discussing how important self-love is not only to self-esteem, but also how important it is to your health, not only from the standpoint of how we say kind things to ourselves actually affects our immune system when we tell ourselves how bad we are and how tired we are and how wrong we are. our body energetically in the cells hears that, and it stores that emotional charges associated with that type of comment, and it actually can start putting wear and tear on the body. So if we're going to regain our health and feel good about who we are, and healthy self-esteem is certainly a integral component to that overall health and well-being that we're looking for, we've got to go in and every day, not just once in a while, but every day, it's important for us to find one thing that we really love about ourselves, and then to be able to show love and gratitude for that. And maybe it's the color of our eyes or the way they sparkle or the way that we smile, and it seems to just kind of work all the muscles in the face, or it makes other people smile. Or maybe it's something that we do that we're really good at, and maybe it's the compassionate ear of listening that we have. But every day, it's like taking the elixir of life, the tonic to be able to create true healing, comes by merely just looking at yourself and loving who you are. So I'm going to be talking about that, and talking about the fact that self-love can really affect us in healing all the way from colds to cancers and headaches to heart disease. It doesn't make any difference where we're going to be working in the scheme of aches and pains or illness. Self-love is really that miracle of healing. I've certainly been challenged by that from the standpoint of many, many different professions, from the standpoint that saying, you know, Carol, you're just telling people things that, you know, are just going to create false hope. And I truly believe there is no false hope. I believe that the false hope is when it's taken away from us. And truthfully, the only person that can give it back to us is ourselves. So that's kind of the gist of the show today. I'm also going to be taking your calls and answering your questions about your health, or we can talk about self-love. So if you have a question for me, you can call me at 877-230-3062. I'm looking forward to sharing my medical intuitive skills with you. And then, so let's jump right back into self-love. There's a lot of confusion when I'm doing a lot of my workshops. I'll ask someone, well, what is self-love? And a lot of people will say, well, it's just, you know, maybe going for a walk, and maybe it's getting a massage, and maybe it's doing something that I really enjoy doing for other people. And, but self-love really isn't the love that we share with other people. And it really isn't in that physicalness of who we are. It is important we love our body and we don't say negative things toward it. But the self-love that I'm talking about is the self-love that focuses on our inner truth, our inner wisdom, our inner strengths, and not what we do in the outside world. The objective of self-love isn't to support an identity that's basically formed by other people's perceptions or their expectations of you, but it occurs. Self-love encourages us to become observer of our own behavior, so we can recognize when we're engaging in that behavior that really is self-sabotaging. What do I mean by that? It's behavior that we do what is right instead of what we feel is good. And this right and wrong and should not, those are some of the plights that we get caught up in our humanness that basically creates a lot of confusion around self-love. When we go into the self-love part, we go in and we really start digging deep. And that's very, very important. And the digging deep is really the opportunity for us to be able to come in and to look in our soul. I always share in my classes, and then also just in so many of my books that I've done, is that the soul itself is never cynical or jaded, nor does it ever become emotionally wounded. The soul looks at every day as if it is just a series of experiences, and it sees every experience as being new, even if that experience has been repeated over and over and over again. But from the standpoint of the soul, every experience is new because it gives us the opportunity to make different choices, to see the situations differently, to think differently, to act differently. And that's really what the self-love is all about. It's about discovering the parts of ourselves that we've really kind of lost over the course of time. In fact, a lot of the soul retrieval work, if any of you do soul retrieval work or work with people, when we talk about soul retrieval, in metaphorically, what we're doing is they're going back and you're going back, and actually all they do is facilitate. You're going back and you're finding fragments of yourself that you have basically lost in the process of trying to be maybe behaviorally compliant or fit into the society or the situation at the time. Now, you can go back into past lives if that's something that's of importance to you, because there's a lot of research that shows that energetically we actually bring a lot of memory forward to us from lifetime to lifetime. But the other part of it is that we lose a lot of ourselves every day when we don't do the things that are really important to us. What do I mean by important? Those are the things that brings a smile to your face. Those are the things that bring that twinkle to the eye, or that sense of joy or gleefulness, or that part of you that at the end of the day you can go, this was really a good day. And so that's what I'm talking about, self-love. It embodies the qualities of self-acceptance, self-respect, self-forgiveness, and it drives your need to be better than who you are and the way that you do things. It's in the nature of an intimate, heartfelt connection. So when I work again with chakras, we have a chakra over our left shoulder. It's called the 11th chakra, or the soul chakra. That particular chakra, when we get to the place where we do things that we feel really good about, that make us love who we are, it just fills us full of beautiful energy and vitality that encourages us to continue to do that. And when we get caught up in the thinking and all the press and all the demands and all the things that we think we should do, then what we basically do is we rob ourselves of the self-love. And then it's difficult for us to really go inside and find out who we are. What are our inner strengths? And what is that potential that everybody talks about that's inside? And how can I go in and see myself through the eyes of my soul instead of seeing myself through the eyes that sees myself as aging or getting wrinkly, or, oh my gosh, where did that body find me in this process? And again, looking at the things that are positive. The value of that positive perception of yourself in self-esteem, I had talked briefly about that, but also it helps you in developing a healthy self-worth. Self-worth is what someone gives to you, and it's what someone takes away from you. Self-esteem is what you give to yourself and what you alone take away. So when we do things that are important to us or make us feel good about who we are, our self-esteem becomes elevated, the level becomes elevated, and then also our self-worth becomes healthy, because now we stop looking to everybody else to tell us, oh, you're pretty, or you look great today, or, oh my gosh, you shouldn't wear that color. That diminishes its self-worth. So it gives us a lot of power and control over our life. And then when we love who we are, then we're able to really step beyond those limitations of the conditioning that, again, as I said, starts as young as 3 years old. And we spend most of our life, first of all, trying to figure out what happened, then what is it, then what can I do about it? And from the perception of the soul, all we have to do is just look inside and see that child within us, the child that is happy, the one that wants to put the tutu on every day and just twirl and spin. And you know, company would come over and I would put that tutu on and I would twirl and I would spin. And it wasn't so much for the applause, because I didn't always get that. In fact, many of the times as I got older, I think about 5 years old, then it was a place where when I would go and I'd get the tutu on and come in, my mom and dad would say, not now, Carol, this isn't the right time. And I remember walking away and thinking, oh my gosh, when is the right time? So again, self-love, very important. When I come back from the break, I'm going to be talking about a story that I have that occurred with a reading that I did. So I'm hoping that you will stay with me. All right. So that's what we're going to be talking about, self-love. So let's go ahead and jump right into the calls. Hi, Kate from Texas. Hi, how are you?
I'm great. Well, good. I'm really happy to be talking to you. How about that?
Well, thank you, and likewise.
Okay.
How can I help you?
Well, I have a lot of things going on. I just came back from reading my hormone test results, which I knew were wacky because I've been having lots of strange symptoms, the most obvious one being I've lost about half my hair in the past 6 months.
Okay.
And then the testing revealed that I'm extremely low in testosterone, extremely low extremely low in progesterone, very low in testosterone, DHEA, and then my cortisol is, you know, high.
So right.
Low in the good stuff, high in the stress stuff. But at the same time, I've been doing, for the past 9 months, I've been trying to do exactly what you're talking about, is I've been doing EMDR for the very first time, seeing a therapist.
Very good.
To deal with what I realize has been a lifelong pattern of PTSD from my family environment.
Mm-hmm.
No huge stressful event, more like a pervasive, always hypervigilant, looking around kind of thing.
Exactly. And in fact, you know, Kate, excuse me for interrupting, but I think what you just said is so important for all of us to hear, myself and all the listeners, is the post-traumatic stress syndrome doesn't need to have to be the part that it is something that is a major trauma. It's just that loss of identity and that pervasiveness, like you said, in the family. So very good for you. And EMDR is a phenomenal tool to be able to work with those things positively.
Yes. And what you're talking about, the self-love, that's something that we were doing more difficult things before, and I really wasn't making progress. I could actually feel my brain working sometimes, like, oh my gosh, my right and my left brain are working together. This feels so new and whatever, and it'd be great. But then it was really slow going. And then we realized that I have no capacity. I don't have, as she described it, I just don't have the brain state for joy and happiness and comfort. And so mm-hmm. now we're trying to implant that, like use the EMDR to put those positive brain states in, to even give me a place to have self-love. And I've just realized the past couple of months that I thought I was good with self-love, at least. I have a lot of physical stuff, but I thought, hey, at least I'm good with that. Now I realize I'm really not.
Well, and again, you know, thank you, sweetie. You couldn't have called it a better time for all of us with all this information. And one of the things that, if I may jump in now, and then I'll address some of the physical things. But one of the things is that I think in all of this conditioning and all of this part of our life that we live for other people's expectations or meeting other people's demands, I think right now it's really important for us to go in and look at the word joy and just spend time with it, but to see it through the eyes of the heart and not through, or the eyes of the soul, kind of that little child that we used to have, that happy place that we would go. And especially if we were in a family where there was just this constant bombardment of negativity or stress or strife or money issues or sibling issues, whatever it may have been in our life. But go in and look at the word joy from the part of our heart. And when we do that, then you can implant what joy means in the sense of words and then the picture and the image. The mind itself is designed to be able to deal with what is familiar. That's the left hemisphere. And when we add new things that are unfamiliar, that left hemisphere really, truthfully, goes in and it gets this information, such as the word joy, and it says doesn't compute. No form, no application, no file in here to be able to apply to it. So it doesn't have any way to be able to experience it. When we try to experience it through emotions, that part of the brain doesn't make decisions based on emotions. So that's foreign, and it immediately continues to negate. So what you can do is, we can do it right now if you're willing to work with me.
Yeah.
Okay, I want you to kind of in your screen, your computer screen of your mind, I want you to put up the word joy.
Okay.
But I don't want you to just look at the word joy as if it were maybe Times Roman on a computer screen. I want you to make that joy fluid. I want you to make it maybe in a font that is very flowing, that is very beautiful, maybe add a little bit of heart to it at the end of the J, and then put maybe a flower at the end of the Y, but make it really, really, really good. And now in the center of the O, I want you to put a picture of a heart. Now, that picture of the heart in the middle of the O, I want you to see it and give me a color, sweetie. What is that? What is that heart?
Red. The color
red.
Of the heart is red.
Okay. And is it a vibrant red? Is it a real pretty red? Or is it a dull red? What does it look like?
Kind of a kidney-colored red.
Okay.
Delish.
What's it filled with? Are you there?
Yeah, it's...
Okay. See what... Go ahead.
Suggested, I would say.
Okay. Good girl. Okay. No, that's very good. That's, and that's what the, your, facilitator is working with the EMDR, because the heart, this process is showing you that the heart isn't healthy. It's full of a lot of congestion. It's full of a lot of things that have trauma to them and has strong emotion to it. So can you make that heart pink?
Wow. It takes effort. But
it does take effort. You're absolutely right. But I would like you to just spend just a short period of time. And again, we're not going to think about it a lot, because see, then the mind goes in and goes, oh my gosh, what is Carol trying to do? This is it computing.
Right.
I don't want to create this file. And I'm saying,
right,
no, left hemisphere. We're going to create this file.
Right. Okay.
Okay. So now you've got pink.
Yep.
So let's see. What if we were to take that pink, and I'm going to give you a color called Razzle Dazzle Rose.
Okay.
And that Razzle Dazzle Rose is pink, and it's got a little bit of blue, and it's got a little bit of a golden color in it. It's got a little bit of purple in it. It's got a little bit of teal color in it. But it's just really vibrant and healthy. Can you see that?
Yeah.
All right. Okay. So in that heart, can you give me a song title? Is there a song that you absolutely love? Can you remember one as a little girl or something you listen on the radio? And, man, you are just singing.
I'm thinking a song I really like lately is Morning Dew.
Very good.
Super happy. Well, it is a super happy song.
It is. It is. Oh, Morning Dew is a very mindful, happy song. It's all about what we're talking about with self-love. Go back and revisit the lyrics of that, and you'll be absolutely amazed.
Are we talking about the same Morning Dew, Grateful Dead?
We are.
I love it. Okay. Well, I'm
we are. We are. Okay. Now, people would say, oh, my God, the Grateful Dead. Well, come on. I mean, they really had a lot of message, didn't they?
And they did. Maybe Eyes of the World, too. So
absolutely. Okay. So now what we've done, and when you go back to EMDR, this is part of your happy place. And so what we did is we opened up a file in your left hemisphere of your brain, and the name of that file is Joy. And then within that file, you still have the picture of it being like a kidney red and a little bit of congestion. You can certainly hang on to that one. And that's one of the things that they'll teach you in EMDR. You can hang on to that one. But now we have a different part of the file that's called Razzle Dazzle Rose. And in that Razzle Dazzle Rose, you can hear the lyrics to those two songs. And every time you get into a place, and you're, and again, you can work with this. You can get into a place where you touch that joy, and all you feel is that congestion, and all you feel is that trauma or that lack. Then what you can do is you can instruct, literally, tell through affirmation, through literally speaking it. Tell your heart, you don't want that file, or tell your mind, you don't want that file. You want the file with the Razzle Dazzle Rose. And in that process, over and over and over, you're going to have to continue to fill that part of the brain with enough memory, with enough emotional charge to be able to replace what was there. And by doing that, we don't really forget what happened, but what we do is we go in and we replace it with something that is positive. And eventually the emotional charge will no longer be there. And that's the way something as simple as this can work. And, you know, a lot of people say, well, it's hard because I just go back and, you know, rethink the same over and over and that same replay. That's what your left brain is supposed to do. That's the only way it can relate to information. So if you can see the left brain is going to naturally do that, it's conditioned to do that. That's how it helps you survive. Whether it was positive in surviving or not, that will help you a lot, sweetie. So I have to give you a metaphor on your hair, darling.
Okay.
You've got to stop thinking so much.
Okay.
Now, I mean, I'm not telling you to do a lobotomy, and I'm not telling you to not think, but when you find yourself going over and over and over and over, it wears you down. It wears your thinking down. It wears your immune system down. And what it's doing is it's causing the hair loss. Now, yes, I would be remiss if I didn't say that the hair loss certainly had to do with hormones, but I can tell you, honey, you have a low-grade infection inside you that is basically, it's nothing major, but what it's doing is it's attacking the area that you're using the most. Those are the hair follicles. You're thinking too much. And so what we have is when you work with this, when you go in to work with your body, look at what you can do to support your immune system. Now, when we're angry with ourselves, we get toxic with ourselves, our stress level elevates, and now what we have is we have ourselves elevated levels of cortisol. Cortisol is congestion. So you can go in and take the, you know, hear your Grateful Dead song and just, you know, kind of get that congestion out. I mean, there's so many things to do. And, you know, while it sounds, a lot of people say to me, oh, come on, Carol, this is silly. I can tell you that it works. It works because we put something new into the mind. It comes in. It's got the joy that goes with the heart. And the greatest thing we can do for our immune system in my world as a medical intuitive is to say wonderful things about ourselves. And it may be something about, wow, I haven't lost all my hair. Look at this. This side is really beautiful and all these different things. But when I go into your scalp, sweetie, you have clumps of hair that you're losing. That is an actual follicle infection that is occurring that is causing those follicles to die and the hair is falling out. So work with somebody to find out what that is. Yes, it has a slight bit of hormone to it, but more importantly, it's a mild, low-grade infection that is causing all this. So in your spleen, which is just below the left side, below the rib, I want you to put that same beautiful fluid joy. In fact, you might even want to get out some crayons. They're great tools. And get some crayons out and write the word joy and do it really fluid and with lots of color. And then anytime that you feel like you're not in that happy place, or that the stress elevates, just look at something like that. It's a mind remapping. People will say it's programming in many ways, yes, but you're actually remapping the left hemisphere to see the same picture and feel the same emotion to the degree that it can in the left side that you have in the right side. Right hemisphere is directly tied to the heart. So I would go in and see what you can do, and there are some things that you can do on hair loss. You might want to Google it, look at some natural alternatives. There are some things that citrus, and I've read where there's doing lemon juice, and then some people will use apple cider vinegar, and what that does is it gets rid of the infection in the follicles themselves, and the hair comes back.
Huh. So it really, you see it really as a, I really wouldn't have thought of that as a low-grade infection. I'm taking colloidal or smart silver every day because I do feel like, I mean, I've got all kinds of sinus stuff all the time.
And, yeah. See, all that is that low-grade infection. Go ahead, sweetie.
Are you getting anything? Like, should I keep doing the silver or is there something else I could...
Yeah, I would continue the silver for a little bit of time. I would look at doing some things that are immune system healthy for, your greens, fruits and vegetables, primarily leafy greens. Look at doing some red fruits and vegetables. You'll want to stay away from some of the nightshades, tomatoes and stuff. You seem to have a little sensitivity to some of those things, but you can actually go in and look at your diet and look at some of the things that you can change in that way, and that will help, because what it's going to do is it's going to change the pH in your stomach. That'll change the pH in your immune system, and what that will do is it will help get rid of this low-grade infection.
Well, I have one more question about that. As I'm doing all of this work, I'm also doing RET and all kinds of stuff, and I've been so... I'm so sensitive, and then I've been so off for so long that I really have had to learn to do a lot of this myself. And what keeps coming back is that I had mono when I was about 15.
That's true, you did.
I knew that I never got over it, actually. And,
no.
And it's when I had a lot of I started this depressive thing that I think I've just kept it from the whole time. And I'm wondering if the infection is still the mono. Because ever since then, I've just never felt right, and then I've never been understood. Like, well, you seem fine, you look fine, you know.
Yeah.
But,
no,
but
it
I've
is.
Known that it's not right.
Yeah. Well, the impetus behind mono is the Epstein-Barr virus, and the Epstein-Barr virus is one of those very rare viruses that we never get rid of in our body. I mean, people will say, Carol, that sounds so absolute. But the truth of the matter is it's a very clever virus, and it can go and it can hide. And then it gets the perfect storm, which is high levels of cortisol, hormone changes that, such as you're experiencing, also changes in diet, maybe some traumatic stress happens in the life. Whatever may happen, you become too acidic. And then what it does, it creates the perfect storm for that Epstein-Barr virus to be able to explode. It comes in and it affects other cells around it. That causes the immune system to become hypervigilant. The immune system becomes tired. It can't tell what is healthy, what isn't. And then the cortisol levels get even higher. And in your particular case, what your soul is saying to you is take your heart and put your heart in your head. Stop having your head rule you. I do understand when I talk to you that you make decisions based on logic. But honey, you always support that logic with your heart. So it's like creating an alchemical marriage between your left and your right hemisphere. When you do that, you become alkaline, and then you will have you will not have a lot of the viral outbreaks that you do, or the mild infection or low grade infection or sinus infection or candida or any of the other things. That's why say nice things, put love in that area, put that word joy in the area, eat the right things. And then also one thing, and then I'm going to have to go. But one of the things is, honey, use your intuition. You're very intuitive. And yes, you gave me a laundry list of all the things that you're going to do. But when you do all of those things simultaneously, it's kind of like taking a grocery bag full of supplements. When you take all of those things too much every single day, it overwhelms the body. Use your intuition, honey. Out of all that laundry list of all the things that you've been doing and you're doing on your own, put the brakes on. Go in and ask yourself, what can I do for my body? And then do one thing. What can I do for my soul? Then do your EMDR. And then let everything else just kind of settle out and find its own rhythm and find its own alkalinity and find its own sweetness of life and love yourself in a different way than you are. And then I'll tell you, it's gonna take care of itself. And then you can, you know, you'll start feeling like yourself again. That's really what we're talking about. Kate, thanks so much, sweetie. You just opened up so many things today that I know a lot of the listeners are probably feeling out there. They just don't have the opportunity to be able to bring it forward. So a great gift you were today. Light and love to you. And I hope all of those things help. Thanks very much.
Thank you.
My pleasure. Well, if you'll stay tuned, I'm going to be right back to talk more about self-love and the power it has to heal your body. But more importantly, I want to share a story of a reading that I did that I hope will change your perception of yourself as it did mine. I'll be right back.
Would you like to learn the hidden meanings behind illness and see how a medical intuitive views illness? You can by joining medical intuitive Carol Reitberger each month on her teleclass series, Your Health. Each month she'll be featuring a different health issue and sharing the contributors behind it. You can register online at www.reitberger.com. That's www.reitberger.com.
Did you know that you can rate this show on iTunes? The show you're listening to right now. It's true. You can leave your thoughts about the show, the topic, the guest. You can even leave a suggestion. Then, before you leave, rate the show. The hosts love hearing from you. So next time you download this show from iTunes, leave your thoughts and rate the show. For the hosts and for others.
Have you ever wanted to talk with a medical intuitive to uncover the hidden meanings behind your aches, pains, and illnesses? Now you can. Internationally renowned medical intuitive Carol Reitberger is now offering personal and health-related readings. Discover your soul's purpose. Learn about the soul and the pre-birth agreements that you have with the people in your life. Readings can be booked online at www.reitberger.com. An hour with Carol can be life-changing.
Remember, you can podcast or download any or all of the shows right here on ContactTalkRadio.com by visiting each of your favorite hosts' page.
Well, welcome back, and thank you for joining me today. If you are, we're talking about self-love, and I am taking your calls. So if you have a question for me about your health, you can call me at 877-230-3062. I'd like to invite you to join me for my Your Health teleclass coming up June 25th at 5 o'clock p.m. Pacific Daylight Time. That's 8 o'clock Eastern Time. The topic of this month of June is going to be on fibromyalgia, and I'm going to be sharing how I see it energetically, and then also mapping it in the chakras of the body and talking about some of the hidden psychological meanings behind it. You can actually register for the teleclass online at www.ritberger. Actually, it's Ritberger, but spelled Ritberger, R-I-T-B-E-R-G-E-R.com. And if for any reason you're not able to actually join me on the teleclass, shortly thereafter, there'll be an audio download. And then there is also a complete write-up, a PDF file on fibromyalgia that you'll be able to download and keep in a binder or keep in some place so you can go back and use it as a reference tool. Both of those things have a nominal fee associated with them. Again, that's June 25th at 5 o'clock p.m. Pacific Daylight Time, 8 o'clock Eastern Daylight Time. And then if you or a loved one suffers from fibromyalgia, then I encourage you to join me, because I will tell you, it will be a very different perspective than what you'll get if you go to the medical community and ask them what fibromyalgia is. It's one of those mysterious illnesses that people, and especially doctors, really aren't sure whether it's real or not. You know it is, but they don't. And as a result, they don't know how to be able to treat it. So again, that's June 25th at 5 o'clock p.m., 8 o'clock Eastern Standard. Well, we're talking about self-love, and I want to go in. I do have some other callers right now. I'm going to try to get as many as I can, but I want to share something that really was life-changing for me. I love the work that I do as a medical intuitive, and every person I talk to changes me in so many ways. But this particular reading that I did really had an impact on me personally from the standpoint of how I changed how I was looking at myself. When I was actually doing my readings where I was sitting in front of someone, I had the pleasure of using my eyeballs, because I'm like a human x-ray machine, to actually be able to see the aura. And now what I'm doing is all my calls and readings are on, all my readings are on the phone. And again, I get a beautiful picture of someone, but I don't see them through their aches and pains. I get to see them through their soul. But in this particular case, I was invited by a mother and also her doctor to visit a 4-year-old little girl. And I've used the name, Jeannie in this, to be able to protect her privacy. But I was actually called to the hospital to do a reading on Jeannie, because she was diagnosed with lymphoma. She was only 4 years old, and that's a huge cancer to be diagnosed with. And the doctor, very open and very receptive, thought that there may be something that is more that we could probably unveil through using my medical intuitive skills. So I actually went into the hospital and spent time with Jeannie. And when I walked in the room, I'll tell you, this child just lit up the room with her smile. And I thought, you know, and I talked to her and I thought, oh my gosh, if you could bottle that smile and that enthusiasm, then what we could do is we could basically have the elixir of healing right there in our own medicine chest. So what I did is I always take my crayons with me, because I like to be able to show people what I see. The doctor and I had worked before. He was familiar with my work. And so I was creating a different form of an x-ray for him to be able to look at, to see where we were dealing with lymphoma that was throughout the body or just in an isolated case, because the tests weren't being able to show that. So at the time I went in there and I said to Jeannie I was going to color her. And she said, oh, well, how fun. She says, I love to color. And I said, well, good. And she said, well, can I color? And I said, well, sure. And I said, well, what are you going to color? And she said, well, I want to color you. You're going to color me. I want to color you. So I brought out my crayons, and so we were both working on the pictures and everything, and I was able to just kind of work, and we laughed, and we played, and we talked, and she asked me if I loved angels, and she asked me if I loved, you know, dogs, and what did I like to do? And I mean, here I was there to do the reading on her, and this little bright soul was coming in and doing this reading basically on me. And so we were coloring and coloring. And then when I got through, I handed her the picture that I had done of her. And she showed me the picture that she had done of me. And the interesting thing is I did something I rarely will do, is I actually put a smiley face on my silhouette that has no expression. And she put a smiley face on mine. And before I could start to tell her and her mother and the doctor what these colors meant and how it was applying to her body and to who she is, she says, oh, well, I want to go first. I want to tell you about you. So when she took the piece of paper and we looked at it, she said she saw me smiling and she saw me as a very happy person. But instead of arms, she drew angel wings. And then in my heart area, she drew this big, huge heart that was like a mosaic. I couldn't believe it. It had all these different colors in it. And then she drew another heart over my head. And then she drew another heart at the base of my feet. And when I asked her about the hearts, she said, well, you have a big heart. She says, you love people. And she says, and you love yourself. And I thought, oh, well, I don't know about that. And she says, but you love, she says, you love who you are. And then she said, and what you're supposed to do in this lifetime is you're supposed to share that love with people on earth. And I'm thinking, where did this child come from? And and I thought, well, this is interesting, because when I came back from my near-death experience, that's what I knew I was supposed to do, was to share my ability to see what I see with other people. So I asked her about the fact that she said that I love myself. And I said, would you explain what that means? And she says, I bet you love toys. And I said, I do. I've got toys all over my office and my house and everything. And she says, and flowers. I just, when I was looking at you and just watching you do what you do, I just saw flowers all around you. And she says, do you have flowers? And I said, oh, I do. I love to garden and I have flowers all over. And so then I said to her, I said, well, this heart at the top, what does this mean? And so she wrote, you know, a little four-year-old in the best that she could wrote, God loves you, so should you. And I thought, oh my gosh, I get goosebumps now while I'm telling the story as I did then. And I thought, oh, that was life-changing for me, because so often I would look in the mirror as everyone else and I would think, oh my gosh, what could I do to find my love? And like Kate said in the first call, where is my joy? Where did it go? Where is that happy place within me? So, at the end of the session, I told Jeannie about her drawing and everything. And, she said, well, where are my angel wings? And I said, well, would you like me to color your soul? I said, I just colored your physical body so your doctors, the doctor and mommy could see what was going on. She said, well, I know what's going on there. She says, I just came in with this bug inside me and we just need to get rid of it. And she said, but color my soul. And so I did. And so it had the angel wings and everything. And I asked her what she likes to do when I was, drawing. And she said, I love to dress up in mommy's clothes and I love to play ball with my dog. I can't do it the way I used to, but she says, I play ball with my dog every day. And she says, I can't do it here at the hospital. So my mom has put it on, video on it so I can actually talk to my dog and I can see my dog. And mom took pictures of me and videos when I would play ball with the dog. And so I could sit and I can see this every single day. And she says, and I love coloring. I love coloring what people looks like. And she says, do you think I could have your crayons? And I said, well, absolutely. I couldn't, you know, I really enjoyed it. And a nurse came in, and as the doctor and her mother and I were talking, she was coloring the nurse. And what she colored in the nurse, she colored this great big beautiful halo around the nurse. And she colored a heart above the nurse's head. And in that part, she said, the angels love you, so should you. You're an angel. And I'm thinking, oh my gosh. So I asked her, you know, if there was something that she could share with me that I could share with people to be able to do my work. And she said, being joyful and having a joyful life is the most important. We all need to play more. She said, everyone is so serious and so forth. And she says, spend time with your pets and go out in your garden. And she says, do things that make you feel really good. And she said, and the most important thing, Carol, and I said, what is that? She said, smile. because she says, when you smile, then I'm going to smile, and then someone else is going to smile. And I'm thinking, oh my gosh. So something as simple as a smile and smiling at yourself when you look in the mirror, all of those things are the things of self-love. And I will tell you, this beautiful little four-year-old has transitioned since the time I did the reading on her. But she wrote a book. She did a bunch of different things. The book isn't for public, but it is for all the people who helped her, the doctor, the nurses, all the kids that she would play with. And it shared people. And the title of it was, God Loves You, So Should You. So I hope that you can remember those things as you go through the day. And when the demands become too much, then maybe like with Kate, you can see that word of joy, or maybe you can see that heart of love above your head. Okay, Jennifer from California. Hi, Jennifer.
Hi, Carol. Can you hear me okay?
I can. Thank you for calling me. How can I help you?
You're welcome. Recovering the tears from that sweet story. I'm trying to compose myself.
Oh, my gosh. I tell it. I get goosebumps. And you know, it was so interesting because I had forgotten. And then when I was doing the show, I had remembered. So, you know, and those aren't the tears, are they, that like, it's like, oh, my gosh, things are really bad. It's like, whoa, this is really good. I love being here.
Yeah. Pink rose light you talked about.
Absolutely. Oh, honey, how can I help you?
Well, quickly, I've enjoyed you locally in Sacramento since you were doing the SMUD lectures and lectured at my church and helped my friend Shirley Derbyshire's mom heal cancer and all the ways that you've contributed here. We're lucky to have you. I credit you for telling me that the origin of the fatigue that I've had since childhood started in chakra 6 and 7, and at the time I didn't even know what a chakra was, and that was probably like 2 decades ago. So since then I've developed a complete path of holistic and alternative healing, focusing on spirit and mind and body and the whole shebang. And I want to know from you if you can tell me what it is I might be missing, because I've worked with completely holistic means and I've had significant improvement and significant gains in my vitality, but it hasn't sustained. And so I think I'm missing something. And the fatigue has been, you know, life-altering and crushing, to where I'm not able to go and create that joy that is so imperative for us.
Yeah. I do, sweetie. I understand. And it's, you know, when anything happens to our physical body, our world shrinks immediately to whatever we're capable of doing. And the fatigue is certainly one of those things that just sucks that world in, to where it's all you can do to just try to get through the day. So when I go in, I'm going to do, because we're going to do a different mapping, it's continue to work with chakra six and seven, but I want you to work with the first chakra. And in that chakra, I want you to work with your hormones. And even though that kind of is in that never land between second and first and second chakra, as far as the ovaries themselves, they're kind of in between those two parts of the body itself. I would like you to go in and I would like you to work with some hormones. There's some hormone changes that have occurred that are positive, but they're also bringing forward some other hormone changes that have been pervasive for a long time that need to be addressed. And then the other thing is that look in the third chakra. What I would encourage you to do is to work with someone around adrenal fatigue.
Yes.
And it isn't so much that the adrenals aren't functioning. It's just that they for a long time haven't functioned optimally.
Right.
And the other thing is, sweetie, I just very honestly, if you could see perfect health as being 100 and knowing where you've been for so long, what if we took that perfect health and what if we made it 75? Not trying to take away that you won't be 100, but maybe we need to, as your body and this energy kind of shrinks your perception of what you can do, maybe what we can do is let's go in and let's say, okay, I want 50% of optimal health and well-being. I want 50% of my energy back. And then I want 55, and then I want 60, and then I want 65, and then I want 70, and I want 75. And give yourself some benchmarks. And another way to say it is, when you get up in the in the day and you get into the day, do the things when you feel really good and then honor yourself when you feel tired. Everything is ebbs and flows. Everything has their highs, they have their lows, whether we're in 100% health or we're not. And so when you're in those lows, do things that are mindful, things that help you get in touch with your body, things that make you feel good, even maybe doing a little bit of sleep or a little bit of rest or maybe listening to some music or doing something like that. Give your body that little bit of time, set a time frame on it, and then go in and then become active again. And then in that process, what you'll do is you'll work within your normal cycles, but you'll also come in, and when you have the energy, you can accomplish things. So at the end of the day, you feel like you're really doing something that has a meaning and purpose to it. And so many times what we do is we allow time to drive us, and we don't always allow ourselves to work within our energy. For example, people will wake up and say, well, you ought to be really, really energetic early in the morning. Well, that's not going to happen.
Right. I like the idea of gradually starting at 50%, 75%, you know, working up. That's not typically the Virgo or green tendency.
No, it isn't. But the thing is that your body doesn't remember, because it's been so long, it doesn't remember what you want of it. It's like training for a triathlon. And in this triathlon, you want to get the body where it needs to be. You want to get the emotions to where it needs to be and the mind where it needs to be. And so by doing it in the little segments and then honoring when you get into the time where you don't have the energy, doing something that is important to you, that is mindful for you, that keeps you in your body and keeps you feeling good about yourself. And then when you have energy, getting up. And then what we do is we literally retrain the body, kind of like if we were going to do that triathlon. We just don't start out by running a triathlon or swimming or biking. We have to build the body up gradually. My sense is what that will do more than anything, Jennifer, it's going to give you the psychological sense that you have control over your life, and your body and the fatigue specifically isn't controlling it. That shift of perception is so important for the body to be able to work the way that it needs to. So the sixth and seventh chakra. So what we're going to do is you can start at number six, like you were sixth chakra, go to number seven, see that number seven, which is the connection to your higher self, roll it down into the first chakra, which is our physical world, rolling it down into the physical world, seeing yourself as being healthy. Your body, actually, when I touch it, sweetie, and I started you at 50, actually, you're about 65.
Okay.
So your body has improved significantly from when we had originally talked. And it is even, you know, more than when I just went to the 50. I just wanted to give your brain something to hang on to.
Yes. And what you also gave me to hang on to was the adrenal fatigue and the hormones, which I knew, but those I know are symptoms. I'm looking at what is causing that pull. What is the cause?
Well, and some of it, truthfully, is physiology. Some of it meaning how the body is functioning. And if you go in and you look at your hormone variation throughout your entire life, if you were to look at your menses and you
right.
were to look at all the different changes, sweetie, you've never been really stable.
Right.
And so as a result, it's unstable. And it's almost like saying, okay, it's unstable. What can I do to put it stable? But actually acknowledging that this isn't something that's happened now. It's something that's been there a long time. So we need to, like an athlete, we need to recondition it. We look at the hormones, visit them, look at the third chakra, look at the adrenals, and then go in, and that affects the pituitary and affects the pineal gland,
right,
which comes
right.
in and the whole thing. So see, it connects the dots.
Yes.
And when you get in that fatigue time, what you could do is you could actually create like a mindful protocol, and it could be something like, you know, connecting the dots where you could see yourself sixth dot connecting to the seventh connecting to the first connecting to the third connecting to the sixth. And what you're doing is you're creating a loop. And if you can see the healing as being a loop instead of being a loop that becomes disconnected,
yes.
then you'll be able to visually see this fact that this is a cycle. It has its highs, it has its lows, it has this ongoing spiraling, and all of those things are going to help you tremendously. It's as much mindful as it is in the physical aspect. But again, this is something that's been ongoing for a long time, and what you're doing now is you're living with what's been ongoing for a long time.
I thought it was due to chemical and heavy metal exposure, or perhaps viral infections.
Well, yeah, absolutely. And all of those things are an outcome. They're not what's causing it. The causing it comes in from the physiology, the way that your body function. It comes from, you know, probably when you were in the womb, if I can go back. I don't unfortunately have that much time, but we could go back and we could say, you know what? This is a genetic predisposition within your family side, your mother's side in particular,
yes.
And that this is a process, and that it doesn't mean that it has to be the rest of my life, but I can tell you that it can be changed. It's just conditioning like you were going to be an athlete.
Thank you.
You are so welcome. What a pleasure, sweetie. Thank you for calling me and both of my callers, and thank you all the rest of the callers. My apologies for not getting to you. I'm thinking in April, in August, I'm going to have a time, one show a month that all I do is open mic to where I can talk to all of you and just answer questions. So if you think that's a good idea, email me, Carol at Ritberger, RITBERGER.com. Thanks for joining me today. It's been a real pleasure. And I hope that I will see you again on the radio next week. I want to leave you with a thought. Remember, self-love and good health go hand in hand. Talk to you next week on the radio. Have a wonderful day.
You've been listening to the Carol Ritberger Show. Join Carol next week and every week at 10 a.m. Pacific Time on ContactTalkRadio.com. To contact Carol, visit her website at www.ritberger.com. That's www.ritberger.com. See you soon.